everyone. My name is Gabrielle, and we are here today with Connect the Tech. So we have a special guest today. This is my boyfriend, Brandon Washington. So Brandon, please tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, I'm currently a senior at Purdue University in the Aerospace Engineering program.
Okay. So do you have any work experience? Where does that lie?
Well, most of my experience is in the automotive industry. I've worked 4 years interning with General Motors, and I'll actually be starting with them full-time in September.
Okay, so within school and with General Motors, what do you feel is your technical expertise since you're in some type of STEM field?
Well, I do a lot of design work, so that a lot of that transfers from the aerospace industry into the automotive industry, that and aerodynamics. So I do a lot of body design and integration into the vehicle.
Okay. So can you tell me what type of software you use in like your everyday career or like when you're at General Motors and things like that?
Well, most of my experience is in MATLAB, so kind of a high level of that. And then I do a lot of CAD, so CATIA, NX, Teamcenter, and a little bit of NASA VSP.
Okay. So do you feel like you have any experience with coding or programming at all? Because I know you said you do a little MATLAB, you need to know a little something for MATLAB. So,
well, I have a little bit of experience besides the, like, introductory course in C. I don't have much experience past that, but MATLAB has some of the similar qualities and concepts. So,
okay. So we're here today because we noticed that when we discuss a lot of our projects, that he never knows what I'm talking about. I never know what he's talking about. So today I'm going to teach him a little bit of what I do, which I'm really involved with Node.js and dealing with different microcontrollers. So I'm going to teach him how to set up a mini servo using an Arduino and Node.js. So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so now we're going to start with a demo. So let's see what we have here. We have the Arduino connected with a breadboard next to it. We have some jumper cables, and of course, we have our servo connected to a 3-pin header to insert into the breadboard. So first, Brandon, we're gonna like set up these. Let's set up these jumper cables, okay?
Okay.
So if you could do this for me, that'd be great. So first, take a red wire and a black wire. Now, take that red wire, and you're going to put it on the left side, where it has the plus and the minus. Put it on the fifth row on the left.
So, fifth positive?
Sorry, sixth row. Sixth positive, yes.
Oh.
No, not like that. Yeah, right in this one. Mm-hmm. And then put the other side in 6A.
Okay.
Take the black wire, put it in the corresponding negative slot, and then put the other side in 5B.
5B.
Great. Okay. Now pick a red or a black wire, doesn't matter which one you choose. Okay, put one side into 7A.
Okay, mm-hmm. 7A.
Okay, and then put the other side in pin 9 of the Arduino. So make sure you look really carefully, because sometimes you can perfect.
There we go.
Okay. So now we're going to take the 3-headed pin that's going to the servo and put it in column E, rows 5, 6, and 7. And be sure that the brown side, oh no.
Is it motion sensitive?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, the glitches of these things. Okay, be sure that the brown side is starting at row 5. Yep. So, pretty much what we're doing here is getting power connected to the servo. Okay. Because, see this right here? So, anything plugged into row 5 is connected, and anything plugged into row 6 is connected. So, we have positive and negative, kind of like a battery. Yeah?
Mm.
And then this right here in row 7 is connecting the servo to the Arduino, so that from the computer we can, technically from the Arduino, we can control the servo. Okay, so next, the last few cables we have to plug in is take a long red wire, put it into the last row of positive, and you're gonna plug it into 5V on the Arduino. Just be careful. So what you're doing here is you're gonna be shooting 5 volts of power into the breadboard.
Okay, makes sense.
Okay. Making sure that it's properly plugged in, you know, don't want you to mess up. And then take the black cord, and you are going to take the black cord and put it on the other corresponding negative side, and then put it to ground on the Arduino. You got it? Oh, it's shaking.
We got power.
It started vibrating there. Okay. So now that it's all wired up, let's see. You guys can see this. Oh, and this thing is shaking. Why are we shaking, Lord? Okay. So now we have to look into the code. So let's delve into a short little thing of code really quick.
This thing will not stay up.
Okay.
Wow.
I know there's a lot going on here. I apologize.
I'm much more familiar with this than what's on the screen.
Oh. Well, this is where all the magic happens. All right, awesome. So just to run you through the code really quick, it's going to be a bit more than what you're used to. So what we pretty much have here is a variable that says 5, and it says require Johnny 5. So what it's doing there is it's calling the Johnny 5 framework, which is a framework specifically made for Arduinos, Raspberry Pis, a lot of microcontrollers, and it's used to control different components. Johnny 5 is special because it's written in JavaScript. A lot of times when you get these microcontrollers, so Arduino is written, a lot of the programs that it has that it's written with is usually written in C++, I believe. Yeah, C++. So it's just another way for JavaScript developers to be able to actually do things with the Arduino. So that's what makes Johnny 5 so important. So then the other variables that we have here is board and my servo. So actually calling to the board the actual, you know, Arduino, and the servo. So, as I said, the variable 5 is calling to the framework, so then now I can use any function used by, that's made created by the framework. And then the variable board is, it says new 5 board, so you're pretty much just initializing the board itself, making it an object so that it can be found based off the Johnny 5 framework. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's saying, here's a board, hey, Johnny 5, can you find the board?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay. You just imagine Johnny 5. Johnny is a person. Boom. And he's in here working. Okay. So then you have a board.on function. So you're pretty much just turning the board on, making sure it's ready to go. And then when it's ready, so this little parameter right here, when it's ready, then it'll go into the actual function. So as you can see, it's on, so technically it's ready. So here it's now initializing the servo, and it says new 5.servo with a 9 in the parameters. So what it's doing here is it's using the Johnny 5 framework to say, hey, we have a variable my server, can we connect it with this, can we use Johnny, we have a variable my servo, can we use Johnny 5, like, hey Johnny, you go out and find the servo that's connected. So 9 is a very special number because it is actually the pin that we plugged in, pin 9.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of communicating with the board like, hey, at pin 9, we should be able to find the servo. And I explained to you how it's all connected on the breadboard. So you could easily have done it with any other pin and just have changed the 9 to another number. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're down here. So this is just a quick little function that's more so just making sure it's communicating correctly. Moving on, so my server.sweep is actually what's going to make it turn. So it's actually going to make it go. And then this.wait, so this is like, I don't know how to explain this, the keyword this to many people, but it's more so referring to the object. So the object here would be the servo. So it's telling it to wait, so it's waiting about, I believe that's 5 seconds. So it's telling it, hey, after 5 seconds, run this function here. So then it's gonna tell the servo, my servo.stop, which is exactly what it sounds like, stop spinning. Then my server.center, make sure you're centered, like it brings back the wheel back to the center. Yeah. So you can honestly, you can either completely lose this function right here, and then it'll just keep spinning, or you can you can change the time here and make it spend longer. Yeah?
Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead.
So I just have some questions about the fundamentals. So it says my server.center. Mm-hmm. Is that a set location or is there a whole other script?
Yes, so you can work with positions on the server. That's why it's so unique. You can deal with like positioning of it. I don't want to say with coordinates, that's not exactly correct, but it does have a special position.
Okay.
So you can manually go in and kind of change how that works. But here, center is just like a regular function that comes built in with the servo just
so
to
like
get
a
it
default.
Back. Yeah, like a default. Mm-hmm. Any other questions about the code?
Well, you know, most of my background is with MATLAB, so it's interesting to see the difference, how things, the variables work differently. I did have a question about the function. Now, in the parentheses, there's nothing in there. So, to me, that's kind of confusing.
About these right here?
Yes.
Okay, so normally when you have a function, what do you expect to be in those parentheses?
Usually it's calling something, calling another script, another...
Not exactly.
Okay.
So, usually you'll have parameters here. So, that's usually what all of these are. So, like, how, like, the dot servo is actually a function... Like how dot stop is a function of the my servo object or the my servo variable. These are really actually objects. But so the dot servo is a function of the five object. Get it? So this is just taking parameters. So it's just this is a function. It's just a function without a name, which they call anonymous functions because it's just being called. So pretty much like where it says function right here and where it says stop right here, they're both functions.
Okay.
Okay. So what should be in between here would be in parameters that you wanted to pass into the function, but it's nothing serious. Yeah. So nothing special there unless you wanted. We don't really have anything to pass in, so you're totally fine. Okay. So are you ready to run it?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna go down to where it is. Okay, so this is our file, demo.js. So JavaScript, just a quick little synopsis. JavaScript is usually run on the web, like when you're doing a website. So what we're using right now is node.js, which is a way to use JavaScript outside of the web, just to make it in simpler forms for you to understand.
Okay,
so when you're running JavaScript, normally people want to run it, they test it by opening it up in the browser. When you're doing it here, your keyword to run it would just be node, and then the file name. Yep, and then you just click enter. Gonna work.
Well, it's impressive.
And we have a successful thing. So as you see, that was like 5 seconds, right? Like I said, and then it stopped. So really what this is doing is it's finding the device based off the port. It's saying that it's connected to the port, and then it is doing its thing.
Well,
yeah.
Interesting.
Are you impressed?
I am impressed.
Do you feel like you did something today?
I feel like a lot was explained to me today.
Okay. So, really quick, I guess, now that we're done with the demo, I do want to ask some follow-up questions.
Okay, go ahead.
So, my first question is, what do you feel like you learned from this today?
Well, to be honest with you, I have a decent background in wiring and, you know, kind of hooking up circuit boards, soldering, stuff like that, but relatively no experience with the code behind it. So kind of seeing what's going on here and seeing how you can control, you know, the different position, how long it runs and stuff like that kind of gives me a better understanding and appreciation for other products that are out there.
Okay. So did you feel like I gave you a good understanding of how the code is talking, per se, or how to break it down and get it into elementary?
I think you gave me a really good explanation. Now, can I go back and
code it?
I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. But it really, in my mind, it kind of connects me to, for example, you know, I do a lot of stuff with cars and parts of the body and how those interface with the rest of the car. But, you know, for example, I used to work in the doors department and, you know, lock states, indications and how that works with the dashboard and, you know, different user face items. The coding behind it, I've gotten a greater perspective on that. I think that's pretty interesting. Now, when I actually want to go into that. It's not really my forte, but I think I do find it interesting.
Okay, so can you tell me, I know you're saying you're kind of familiar, you know, with the wiring, so I guess what concepts, would that be like a concept you feel like you already knew? Is there any other concepts you felt like you were already familiar with in this?
In terms of wiring, though, it's pretty straightforward. Positive and negative wires, different ports, you know, power source, all that stuff. That's pretty straightforward.
Okay. It's just the coding was completely
new. Yeah, the coding was new for me.
Okay. And I guess my last question is, the project overall, whether it's the hardware or the code, what do you feel like, if you can at all, do you feel like you can take back and apply to your everyday work?
I guess what I could say is, when I'm, you know, designing physical parts of a vehicle or aircraft or anything like that, I could design the pieces with the code in mind. So something that would be easier for the person coding it to work with, instead of having, you know, several ports all over the place, or, you know, things not labeled right, or its intended function. I feel like if you have a greater understanding of both sides, then you can both design together its intended function better for the customer.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you for coming today. I hope you enjoyed all of this newness. And yeah, hopefully you'll be back one day.
I plan to.